A weekend radio gig turned into a lifelong career because of one conversation. That's how profoundly a simple exchange can redirect the course of a life. Yet here we are, constantly connected through screens, drowning in digital messages, and somehow more isolated than ever. We've replaced depth with speed, understanding with emojis, and genuine connection with perfectly curated online personas. The average person now sends hundreds of texts weekly, but struggles to maintain eye contact during a face-to-face conversation. We're witnessing a crisis hiding in plain sight. Our ability to truly talk with one another is vanishing, and with it, the very thing that makes us human. We're physically unremarkable creatures. On the food chain, humans rank alongside anchovies, hardly apex predators. We can't outrun lions, outclimb monkeys, or outswim dolphins. Yet we dominate the planet. Why? Because we mastered something no other species could: nuanced, complex conversation. While dolphins can signal danger and chimpanzees can gesture for food, only humans can negotiate treaties, describe abstract concepts, and build trust through words alone. Our bodies literally evolved to prioritize speech over survival. The larynx dropped lower in our throats, creating the pharynx that enables clearer articulation, but also making us the only mammal that can choke on food. We accepted a deadly design flaw to communicate better. That's the biological price tag on human conversation, and evolution deemed it worthwhile. Our lips became more flexible, our mouths shrank, our necks shortened, all to produce the precise sounds that would eventually build civilizations. When you consider that humans willingly traded safety for the ability to talk, you begin to understand just how central conversation is to our identity. This evolutionary advantage translates directly into modern success. Companies with strong communicators as leaders see 50% higher returns. Poor workplace communication costs businesses $37 billion annually. Hospitals lose $12 billion yearly simply because staff members don't talk effectively. These aren't abstract numbers. They represent real consequences of our deteriorating conversational skills. Meanwhile, we're more polarized than at any time since the Civil War, shouting past each other rather than engaging in genuine dialogue. In 2000, Americans sent 14 billion text messages monthly. By 2014, that number exploded to 561 billion. This shift is rewiring our brains and eroding empathy. College students today show 40% less empathy than their counterparts 30 years ago, with most decline occurring after 2000. We're replacing rich, multidimensional human interaction with flat digital exchanges. When you text someone about a problem, you miss facial microexpressions, vocal nuances, body language, 93% of communication that happens nonverbally. Even a phone's mere presence damages conversation quality, reducing trust and perceived empathy. Technology isn't the villain, our relationship with it is. Put the phone in another room during dinner. Schedule coffee instead of texting. These small acts rebuild our conversational muscles. Smart people often make terrible conversationalists. Intelligence creates overconfidence in communication abilities while reducing emotional intelligence. Intelligent people overvalue logic and undervalue emotion. When a friend shares they're getting divorced, the smart person responds with statistics. Almost half of marriages end in divorce. What the friend needed wasn't data. They needed empathy. Intelligence also breeds resistance to admitting ignorance. Smart people hate saying, "I don't know." Yet when doctors tell patients, "I don't know," about symptoms, patients report higher trust. Vulnerability strengthens relationships. False expertise erodes them. Conversations fail when expectations don't align. I've seen guests storm out of panels over timing mismatches, not from malice, but misaligned assumptions. The solution is stating your intentions clearly from the start. Good doctors explain procedures before beginning, transforming anxiety into cooperation. Apply this to conversation. Before disciplining an employee, this is an official reprimand, but you're not being fired. With children, replace passive-aggressive questions, "Why is your room still messy?" with direct statements, "I'm frustrated your room isn't clean yet." Clarity eliminates confusion and forces you to identify your own goals. Do you want advice or just someone to listen? Your emotional state matters enormously. While intentional body language proves ineffective, authentic emotions always show through. If you're anxious, distracted, or angry, it manifests regardless of your words. You can't fake presence or genuine interest. In 1960s Atlanta, Zernona Clayton, an African-American woman, befriended Calvin Craig, a KKK Grand Dragon. Through patient, respectful conversations, she convinced him to renounce the Klan entirely. If that's possible, surely we can talk with relatives who voted differently or colleagues with opposing views. There's no human with whom you share absolutely nothing in common, and no topic too dangerous to discuss respectfully. The key lies in five strategies. Be curious, check your bias, show respect, stay the course, and end well. Curiosity means genuinely wanting to understand someone's perspective rather than waiting to educate them. Zernona didn't try to convince Craig he was wrong. She asked what shaped his beliefs. Former CIA officer Amaryllis Fox noted that everybody believes they are the good guy. The only way to disarm someone is by listening to understand why they see themselves as righteous. Checking your bias requires resisting the impulse to constantly judge whether you agree with everything someone says. Psychologists call this the halo and horns effect, judging someone entirely based on one aspect we approve or disapprove of. These shortcuts prevent genuine understanding. Showing respect means viewing others as human beings deserving empathy despite disagreements. Try identifying what positive outcome they're seeking, even when you oppose their methods. Staying the course means not changing the subject when uncomfortable topics arise. Sometimes, simply learning what someone thinks is valuable, even without agreement. Finally, end well. Let go of needing the last word. Thank them for sharing their thoughts. If you end graciously, you create space for future conversations. And when you inevitably make mistakes, apologize immediately without excuses. Your brain cannot multitask. It rapidly switches between tasks, and each switch carries a cognitive cost. This creates a dopamine feedback loop that feels rewarding while producing cortisol and adrenaline that cloud thinking. You feel productive while becoming less effective. Studies show even unread emails can reduce IQ by 10 points. The mere knowledge of unaddressed messages occupies mental bandwidth. The solution? Be present or be gone. Either commit fully to conversations or politely excuse yourself. Presence alone isn't enough. Psychologist Charles Derber distinguishes between shift responses that redirect conversation to oneself and support responses that encourage others to continue. When someone shares a story, your brain naturally scans for comparable experiences, which often distorts understanding. Harvard researchers found that talking about ourselves activates the brain's pleasure centers similar to sex or chocolate. Despite 98% of people believing they're good listeners, most multitask during conversations. The best conversations happen between two people genuinely considering each other. Benefits come from sincere interest in others. Most public radio interviews last 5 minutes, yet feel substantial because they're information-rich. With attention spans now averaging under a minute, concise communication is essential. Emails exceeding 3 paragraphs often go unread. Meetings beyond 45 minutes see engagement plummet. Watch for fidgeting, phone checking, or decreased eye contact, signs it's time to wrap up. Quality matters more than quantity. My ex-husband complained I tried covering our entire relationship in single conversations, diluting my message. A 30-minute meeting cap increased participation by 40%. Ironically, repetition makes listeners tune out, causing semantic satiation that reduces comprehension. Open-ended questions beginning with who, what, where, when, why, and how transfer control to respondents and encourage storytelling. Replace "Did you enjoy the conference?" with "What were your main takeaways?" The "What else?" follow-up reveals deeper insights. Social psychologist Robert Cialdini suggests asking for advice to win over critics, demonstrating respect for their expertise. His research shows people become invested in those they advise. Allow silence after asking questions, the 7-second rule elicits more detailed answers. As novelist James Steppens wrote, "We get wise by asking questions, and even if they are not answered, we get wise." Resist pretending to know things you don't. Research shows 25% of adults fake knowledge, especially when speaking to higher-ranking people, behavior that erodes trust. Admitting, "I don't know," builds credibility and opens learning opportunities. Avoid correcting minor details or grammar, which derails conversations. Eliminate "well, actually" from your vocabulary. Real improvement requires brutal self-honesty. Record conversations, seek candid feedback, acknowledge failures. Research shows happier people have twice as many substantive conversations as superficial ones. Put away your smartphone and genuinely engage. The best conversations happen when both parties truly consider each other, feeling heard and valued, rather than simply waiting their turn to speak. Conversation is deteriorating as empathy plummets and division deepens. We're more fractured than any time since the Civil War, retreating into echo chambers. Unlike compassion, feeling for others, empathy means feeling with others. It improves patient outcomes, workplace morale, reduces prejudice, and forms the basis of morality. Good conversation fosters empathy by helping us understand others' experiences. In our divided world, meaningful conversation across differences isn't just a social skill, it's a survival skill. We've traded our evolutionary advantage for hollow digital connection. But every conversation is an opportunity to practice presence, curiosity, and empathy. The path forward isn't through more technology, it's through more humanity. If an African-American woman could befriend a KKK Grand Dragon through conversation, we can bridge the gaps in our own lives. The crisis isn't that we've forgotten how to talk, it's that we've forgotten why talking matters. Every time you choose presence over distraction, curiosity over judgment, listening over speaking, you're reclaiming your humanity. The world doesn't need more information, it needs more understanding. And understanding begins with a single conversation.